Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. This is our second episode. And for our new listeners, basically what we do is we pick a topic every week and then we list our top five films of that topic. And I like to introduce myself that I'm Ricardo. Blah, 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 blah.
I am Jenny.
It's Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
Okay. I will mumble from now on. And
that's a good plan. I like it.
It's a good plan, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so any movie news? Any rumors? Anything you guys want to talk about? Anything you've seen in the news? Let's talk about movie news. What's going on? Anything?
I heard they're going to do a third installment to the Before Sunrise, Before Sunset series.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I'm on board.
Before what though? What's it going to be before?
Before dinner.
I don't know, maybe before death.
Oh, dark.
Yeah, I like that. I just heard Christopher Nolan talking about the new Batman. About
how 8 years?
Takes place 8 years after The Dark Knight. So I'm on board with that.
Yeah, sounds
and then
good.
I also heard that Scarlett Johansson is going to direct a movie.
What?
Yeah. No.
I hope it's better than her Tom Waits cover album.
Yeah.
Because that was awful.
Yeah, that was bad.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
That makes David Lynch's albums sound amazing.
Yeah, it does. It does. All right. What else? Any movies you've seen lately?
Weren't you guys going to see Immortals after the last time we were here? Did that happen?
It didn't happen for me.
It didn't happen for me either.
But she did see. What did you see?
Oh, I did see
Martha Marcy May Marlene.
I finally saw that, so I can chime in with that one. But
awesome.
It was really good. I wouldn't own it, let's just say. I probably wouldn't go see it again either. I'd wait to rent it. I mean, it was a really good storyline and very interesting topic. And she was awesome.
It's very disturbing, though. I can understand not owning it on the grounds of being disturbing alone.
Very disturbing. It was the whole, like, they didn't explain a lot, too. And mm-hmm. I know it's, like, supposed to be one of those things where you guess for yourself and it's like very artsy and stuff, but some things just need to be explained. I don't have time to figure it out by myself.
Well, now that you've got Siri to talk to you.
Yeah, she'll tell me all about it.
Siri will explain it to you. How could you explain to me this movie? And then she'll explain it.
She'll sing it.
I didn't see anything. I rewatched Carlos, the miniseries on, is it a miniseries or is it a
Carlos?
Really long fucking movie?
It's a miniseries.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a movie and like in
overseas.
Some other country it was a miniseries.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed
it. But the one with Edgar Ramirez?
Yeah, he's amazing. He was really good. I think he's a great actor. And I think that works for me. I wish more movies would do that format where it's like a really long movie. It lends itself to like that kind of storytelling. You guys, have you guys seen anything? Anything new?
I saw Melancholia.
Oh, really? How was it?
Which, I've been sick for the last like 4 or 5 days. Not really a good movie to watch when you're sick. It's called Melancholia. So that really tells you everything you need to know about the movie. It's about like this new planet that they discover that's been hiding behind the sun, and people are worried that it's going to crash into Earth. And it's a really gorgeous downer.
Okay, yeah. And so Kevin, did you see anything new?
I did not see anything new this week.
Okay.
Oh,
I watched
how
a lot
was
of
that,
James Bond
how
movies.
How was that Woody Allen thing that you watched last night?
I fell asleep.
Oh.
I was really tired. I recorded a Woody Allen
The
documentary.
American Masters
yeah,
documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to watch that.
Yeah, so I have it. And today is part two of it, so I shall check that out tonight, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
this week's topic is top five dysfunctional family films. It's tricky because it feels like, oh, family films.
Top five dysfunctional families in film. They don't have to be necessarily like dysfunctional family films. Sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that phrase that's odd.
That's true. Dysfunctional families in film.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. All right. So, who wants to start? Should I start? Should we? Who wants? I feel like I'm starting all the time. Let's start with Kevin today.
Okay. Ooh. Oh. Okay. Let's do that.
Right.
I had a little trouble with this. At first, I had like my top three, and it was perfect. And then when it started to go down the list, I started trying to think of other films. So I looked at a film from my childhood that I've rewatched several times now that I'm an adult, and I went with Parenthood as my number five pick. I mean, brilliant cast, great writing. They're not the most crazy dysfunctional families, but they've got the normal dysfunctions going on. I mean, parents just trying to raise their children without messing them up too much. So it has some great lines. It's got one of my favorite quotes, which is from Keanu Reeves. And it talks about how you need a license to drive a car. You need a license to buy a dog. But they'll just let any butt-reaming asshole be a father. And I just always loved that quote.
It's rare that you get such a long quote from Keanu Reeves.
It's true. And he actually does a very good job.
I really like Keanu Reeves. Yeah. And it's a great movie.
It is. And it has another amazing actress, Diane Wiest. And she has some amazing scenes in the movie. Like the one scene where she finds out her daughter's pregnant. And she just has this line where she's like, "I was at Woodstock." As she's freaking out. So I went with Parenthood. Great directing, amazing cast, just great themes about life.
Who directed Parenthood?
It was Ron Howard.
Oh, okay. Right.
What year was that?
That was, I want to say, 89. Let me just double check.
Was it 89, 88, 90? I feel like it was like in the 90s.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it was 89.
All right. I'm just filling time. I just wanted to talk.
Yeah, it was 89.
89. All right. You were right.
It's a good movie. I always loved how that, which came first, that or Problem Child, because it had the similar posters.
I want to say Parenthood came first because I think Problem Child was early 90s.
Okay. I just always thought it was funny that they had such similar posters. But I do love Parenthood. That when he's having those flashbacks or whatever, when he's imagining his son being a valedictorian and then after something bad happens, he's imagining him.
Yes, when he's at the clock tower shooting people, but he's still cheering on his son. I love those scenes so much.
Oh, that was that's the one with the scene with the what was that childhood thing that everyone said about diarrhea?
Oh, when you're feeling
kind of funny and something runny, diarrhea.
Diarrhea, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, great song.
It's a really good song. It should be in our top five favorite albums. Adam.
Okay. So I'm going to go with 1991's Nothing But Trouble. Nice. Starring Chevy Chase and directed by Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
Yeah, he directed it.
Wow.
But the Vulcanizers, that's the family that owns like the land where they end up getting stuck and having to go to this weird feudal court. And they're just the crazy, craziest family. Do you remember? Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I've seen it. I do love it. And Chevy Chase tends to do these dysfunctional family films. I dig him. A lot of people don't like him for some reason. I dig him in that Community. I'm digging Second Coming of Chase. Yeah,
the Second Coming of Chase.
Yeah,
for sure.
I just love it, and like the crazy like grown men babies that are working in the yard, one of which I just found out is also Dan Aykroyd. He plays one of those babies.
Really?
Yeah. He's the judge and he's one of the babies, and like he directed it and his brother wrote it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Digital Underground shows up plays a song. Random Daniel Baldwin appearance as a greaseball, shady guy.
I think every movie has a Baldwin in it, you know?
I hope so.
That's a requirement. Like, hey, you go to file your paperwork with SAG, and they're like, "Well, which Baldwin is in your movie?" And you're like, "None." And they're like, "We can't certify this as a SAG project."
It's ultra low budget. It's like, okay, so you can have Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel will do it. Yeah. So, Jenny, take it to number five.
My number five was from 2005, actually. The Family Stone. It's one with a really great cast. I've actually never heard of this director before. I don't know what else he's done. Is it Bazooka? Bazooka?
Oh, yeah. Bazooka? Yeah. I think he's a music... I want to say he's a music video guy, but not sure.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him, but
it's the one with Sarah Jessica Parker, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that crazy family, and Diane Keaton's always a fantastic mom.
I like Luke Wilson in that.
Oh yeah, I love Luke Wilson in it too.
Yeah.
It's really dysfunctional because any movie that can make you feel awkward while you're watching this family interact is a dysfunctional family, I feel like. And there's so many awkward parts that you're just like, oh my God, I just want to leave the room now because it's so awkward. That's definitely in my top. I watch it like every year, every Christmas.
Who plays the dad in that? Is it the coach?
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, yes. Craig T.
He'll always be coach to me.
Me too. I can never remember his name. Coach.
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I'm not a fan of Sarah Jessica Parker. Not surprisingly, but surprisingly, I like that movie.
I like Sarah Jessica Parker. That movie wasn't what I was expecting. For some reason, the trailer made it seem like more of a comedy than it was. Like, it got pretty dramatic.
It's kind of a downer at the end. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my number five is 1999's Magnolia. And the family I'm talking about. Is that one of your picks?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
The family I suppose you're talking about is Tom Cruise and Jason Robart, father and son. It's a great. It feels like an anthology of films. First of all, the movie itself to me. I don't know. How does it feel to you?
Well, I mean, with all the different storylines, I could definitely see how you could perceive it as an anthology of films. Yeah.
But great acting all around. You know,
I still think that's Tom Cruise's best performance.
I would say that. He's out of the norm of what he usually does. He's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
But then he has those scenes where he breaks down and he starts crying after this guy who's been on the screen as an asshole, and you feel for him.
Yeah, yeah. He does do that because you don't like his character at first. You're like, who's this jerk? And then you, that bastard, makes you care for him now. But yeah, I love it. Anybody else has to say about
Magnolia? It's a great, great Tom Cruise performance, but Magnolia is just not one of my favorite movies. I don't know. I was never big on Magnolia.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What is it? What is it about it?
I don't really like most of the characters in the movie. Like, I think maybe John C. Reilly. But I mean, how can you dislike John C. Reilly?
That's true.
But yeah, I was never into it. I remember everybody was raving about it when it came out, and I was like,
I have to say, the first time I watched it, I wasn't the biggest fan. It took several viewings, and the more and more I watch it, the more and more I just love the movie and just am hooked on the movie. The writing, I mean, all the characters are great. I mean, even though you say it's hard to like some of the characters, they're still really well-written characters.
It's a bunch of great actors. I love all of those actors. If those actors hadn't played those characters, it would have been even harder to watch that movie. It's not my favorite, but it's got great moments.
Yes. That's one I still need to see. I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, this is the list.
Yeah. Now I'm writing it down on my list as we speak.
Kevin, you want to take it to number four?
Yes. My number four comes from 1999 as well, and it's American Beauty. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Sam Mendes, you have Alan Ball writing a terrific script about how at times the suburbs can really just suck and the suburban life can really suck. And then you have amazing, amazing cinematography from Conrad O'Hall.
That was his second to last film before he died? I think his last was Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition was his last. Yeah, I think it was his second to last film. So he worked with Sam Mendes for his last two movies.
Damn.
Amazing performances. Kevin Spacey is so great as Lester. Annette Bening's fantastic. And then you have like Chris Cooper who just playing... such a great character. Some amazing shots, some fantastic scenes. Every time you watch it, you find something new to kind of like a new theme that you might not have picked up on before. You just watch it and get new things out of it every time you see it.
Who plays the gay neighbor? Isn't it Scott Bakula? Am I right?
Yes, it is
he's
Scott Bakula.
Great. When they start jogging.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it's been such a long time since I'd seen American Beauty.
It's got a good cast. What happened to Wes Bentley? Remember when
that's you what I was like, thinking, but he's like, in the Hunger Games.
He's in. Okay. He did The Claim and Ghost Rider.
Well, that's, you know, Ghost Rider.
Ghost
we
Rider.
Thought, whoa.
And he did comeback. That that horror movie that took place in a parking garage.
P2. Yeah, I couldn't finish that movie.
Oh, yeah. No.
I couldn't. I started it. I never finished it.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually seen it, but because it didn't look very good.
It's tough.
Okay.
But the Burnhams in that movie. I've had dinner at that family's house. Not that family, but that family.
Yeah.
Very, very awkward dinners sitting through.
I could just imagine.
With the music, like seriously, exactly like the mom who has a specific music that she wants on, and the dad just sitting there stewing in silence. It's really tough.
Makes a great dysfunctional family.
Yes, it does.
Didn't Alan Ball write this movie, right?
Yep.
Did he win an Oscar for that?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did win an
it's
Oscar.
It was a great script. Yeah, yeah. So you guys want to take Adam, take it to number four.
All right. So number four, even though we're coming up on Thanksgiving, this is a Christmas movie, Christmas Vacation, 1989, another Chevy Chase movie.
Yeah,
that's my number one.
Is that your theme this week?
You know, it could have been, but I kind of steered clear. I figured one vacation movie will take care of all, because I could have just done vacation movies because they're the craziest dysfunctional family.
That's definitely the best out of all the vacation movies, I think.
I think I agree with you there.
Yeah, completely.
Really? I was never big on European Vacation.
No.
I like the first Vacation. And Vegas Vacation, I just saw too many times when it came out. Because it was on cable like all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, Christmas Vacation, you've got
Cousin Eddie.
Randy Quaid. Yeah, sure was full.
Fantastic.
Who plays Rusty in that? Is it the guy from...
Johnny Galecki.
Yeah, yes. Galecki.
Johnny Galecki plays Rusty, and Juliette Lewis plays... Mm-hmm. What's her name? Audrey?
Audrey.
Yeah, yeah. Audrey. Yeah,
and... what's his name? Bill Hickey? Bill, he plays the old uncle who tells her, like, keeps telling the aunt, like, you couldn't hear a dumb truck driving through a nitroglycerin factory.
Yeah. I like how each movie had different kids. They switched out the kids, and it's like, they're different ages.
Works for me.
They're young, they're old.
Yeah, one, like, the sizes, that's the big one for that movie, where it's like Rusty all of a sudden is smaller and younger than Audrey, and before he was older. It's like, whatever. Exactly. It doesn't matter.
It's not a big deal. It still works.
Yeah.
That movie has one of my favorite monologues in it, when he's talking about his boss.
Yes.
That's
the
absolutely...
hallelujah, holy shit.
Yes. Give me
Where's
Tylenol?
Where's the
Tylenol? That's a great monologue. Great.
And I just watched it again, like, last night. And Beverly D'Angelo is just always acting. Like, even if she's just, like, she's hidden away in the corner of the screen, she's still acting. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
And continuing the theme of who's their neighbors, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right?
Is
her neighbor.
And Nicholas Guest.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. They're really funny in that, too.
Yeah.
Todd and Margot.
Did you say, Jenny, did you say that was your number one?
That was my number one.
So now we've discussed Jenny's number one.
Yeah.
So what is your number
four? My number four, it's in 87, and I went the Coen Brothers route again for Raising Arizona. Nice. I don't know if other people would consider it a dysfunctional family movie, but I think it's pretty family-oriented.
They're pretty dysfunctional.
I mean,
definitely dysfunctional. Well,
any marriage based on the fact that he's a career criminal and she's a police officer.
Yeah.
And they want to steal a baby.
It's
I
great.
Like how they steal a baby, yet you're still rooting for them. You're still like, oh, man, I hope they don't get caught.
I know.
H.I. McDonough.
They had extra babies.
Yeah, that's true. It is true.
Yeah.
They did have extra
babies. I mean, they didn't really need them.
Yeah.
And I love John Goodman and what's the other guy's name?
John Forsythe.
Yeah.
John
They're. I almost always forget that they're in that until I, like, watch
they're so
the trailer
good. That
or
fight.
So
that
funny.
Fight in that trailer.
Great.
One of the
great,
best
great.
Fights ever.
I like their friend, what's his name? The guy who, it's the other couple they hang out with.
Wants
them to be swingers.
Yes. I can never remember his name, but he's in Christmas Vacation also, and he was on the Tracy Ullman show, and he's just great. And we should probably, who's got IMDb close?
I do. Well, I think we all do, but this will take us forever. But while we're pulling it up, he's a character actor. He's on like every movie. He's on every TV show I see, he's on, like, King of Queens. He's one of Kevin James' bosses. But he's really funny. My favorite line is when he's trying to tell the joke, and he keeps telling Pollock jokes to everybody. And finally, at the end, he gets caught. Kevin, did you pull that up?
I'm looking.
Oh, okay.
Phil.
I guess I can go to my number four while we're waiting.
Yeah.
Right? My number four is 2001's The Royal Tenenbaums.
That's my number two.
Okay, so we're just
and that's my list. Number one.
Wow,
nice.
See, I specifically left it off my list because I'm like, someone's got to get Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, and it's just, I think this is his best movie. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. It's one of his best.
I'd say it's his best.
Yeah, and I think so.
I concur.
Just everything kind of like hits on every note. The cinematography is perfect. The framing. There's no shot that he uses that isn't beautiful, I think. Like, everything has, like, a color scheme. It's just all around, like, this guy must have done, you know, a couple years on pre-production. Because everything is perfect. Everything is just right. And the soundtrack, the music he uses in that is great.
Oh, yeah. The cast itself is fantastic. That they can pull off that Wes Anderson humor. It's so hard to find a cast that can be that hilariously dry, you know, and they're just fantastic at it.
Yeah, deadpan humor is very hard to pull off, and everyone in that on that film does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman is so fantastic. Mm-hmm. As Royal.
Yeah, I want him to do another Wes Anderson movie.
He retired though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Bastard. He did. Come out of retirement. Him and Connery need to come out of retirement. Like, because what was... Like, well, Connery's last movie was, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so he definitely needs to come out of retirement to make up for that. But what was Hackman's last movie?
His was... I'm not sure. I'm not going to guess here, because I'm going to get it wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't think of his last one.
I think last one... One of the last ones was David Mamet's movie, isn't
Heist?
It? Heist. I think. That was one of his last ones, I think. But, back to Royal Tenenbaums. It's great. Everybody in the cast. Wes Anderson... funny as Eli Cash. I just love him. Everybody, Bill Murray, Dudley, the guy who plays Dudley. Every single character in the movie is just so rich and funny. Kumar. I love
Kumar,
him.
Yes.
He's a talent. He has
Wait,
the
is
cancers.
This right? Welcome to Mooseport was his
That's
last movie?
That's right. Oh. With Ray Romano.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, he really needs to come out of retirement.
Gotta come back and make up for that.
Wow. Interesting.
Did you find out what actor it was?
I didn't. No, because I started looking up Gene Hackman's last movie then.
Got distracted.
All right, Kev. Well, what number was that for you?
That was my number one.
And Jenny? Yeah.
My number two.
Okay. Yeah. So, number three.
This is going to be a short episode.
I know.
My number three you have already taken as well. It was Magnolia.
Oh. All right. Well, did we talk enough about it?
We could talk all day about Magnolia if we wanted to.
I mean, it's a long enough movie. I feel like you could talk a little bit more. It's like 3 hours long. So. Yeah,
that's true.
You should talk some more about it. No?
No.
That's it?
I'm done with it. You, Kev? What else do you want to say? You're like, okay.
And scene.
Adam.
Okay, so I'm finally coming up into this decade, going with 2009's Dogtooth.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
I didn't see that movie. I keep hearing about it. Yeah. Sound like
with
you.
Yorgos. I don't know how to say his name. Yeah. Yorgos something. Crazy Greek movie about this family they keep their children locked away on their on this compound, and they're not allowed to leave until the dog tooth falls out, which never falls out. And it's just this crazy, satirical, dark commentary about the way people shelter their children. And it's amazingly funny and disturbing.
Yes.
I love that movie.
The way the siblings interact with each other, the way the father tricks his family so that they can't leave the compound by coming up with stories of what could be beyond the fence.
The evil cats.
Yes.
Cats will kill you. They it's
wow.
Yeah.
What is this is a foreign movie, right?
It's Greek.
It's Greek, you said, yeah. That's crazy.
It's kind of
not
amazing.
A lot of movies come out of Greece. I've noticed that. I think this is the first time something's been on my radar from Greece, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if they're like Dogtooth, they need to release more movies.
Yeah,
I don't think somehow I'm guessing that not a lot of people make movies like Dogtooth anywhere.
And I don't think we have the money for it. what was that? Your number three?
That is my number three. Yes,
okay. Jenny.
Oh, all right. My number three is 2006, Little Miss Sunshine. Great movie, great everything. One of my favorite Steve Carell characters, actually. And I don't know, just the whole, just the scene, and the one scene where Alan Arkin's teaching Abigail Breslin to dance is just enough dysfunctional for me to fill any dysfunctional movie ever. That's just that scene in general. I don't know. I loved it.
I think Ellen Arkin?
Yeah. Arkin.
Oh, what was I saying? Arca.
Arca.
Ellen Arkin in every scene in that movie. It's funny. When he's talking to the boy about getting laid, He's like, get laid. He's funny in every scene.
Yeah.
But no, that is a great movie.
Definitely a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
Definitely
dysfunctional.
Yeah. What have those, that couple, of, it's a couple, right, that directed the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They haven't done anything else, I think.
Jonathan Dayton and Valerie.
Yeah.
Ferris. They do music videos.
That's right.
I looked it up, yeah. They do a lot of music videos. But, yeah. I didn't see any other movies that they'd done.
They haven't, I think. I think they're going to make another movie.
I thought they were working. I kept hearing rumblings about them working on something.
Yeah, me too. I know the screenwriter is the guy who wrote Toy Story 3.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Michael Arndt.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Schindler's Toy Box.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what he does next after Toy Story. Because that took forever to write, I heard. So. Mm. Anyway, my number three is, let me pull it up here, is 1955 East of Eden.
I liked your, yeah.
Yeah, 1995 East of Eden. it's Elia Kazan. It's an Elia Kazan film. I just, you know, I have a soft spot for Elia Kazan. You know what? This is the thing. I'm not the biggest James Dean fan. I'd even go, he's not one of my favorites at all. But I do like this movie. I like it for, you know, for the film itself, not too much for James Dean. I'll even go out and say, I'm not a fan of James Dean. I'll confess.
It took you a while to get up.
Yeah.
I saw where that was going.
You're like, it's going there, but
he just doesn't want to say it. It's okay. Own it.
I'm not a fan of James Dean, and I'll say it. I understand Marlon Brando is good, but I'm not a fan.
Wow.
I'm not a huge fan of Marlon Brando.
That was a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Wow,
we're going to get some letters about that.
Yeah.
I do love his older work. I'm deviating from this East of Eden thing, but here we go. I love Marlon Brando in The Godfather and in Apocalypse Now. All his older work. His younger work, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, he influenced acting, but...
Wait,
his earlier period of work,
so like,
I dig
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Streetcar Named Desire.
I think it's good, it's influential, and it's great. He changes the way people, went about acting, but
On the Waterfront?
Yes, still.
The Men.
Those movies are great. And On the Waterfront, again, another one of my favorite movies, Elia Kazan. But I'm going to say it. I'm not a big fan.
So you're saying that Elia Kazan really made these movies for you?
Yeah. And this is the argument I always get into. Because everybody's like, fucking Marlon Brando was amazing. I'm like, anytime he didn't have a good director, his movie sucked balls. The movie itself were not good. When he had Scorsese, Coppola. Directing. Or Elia Kazan. He was amazing. That's when he'd win Oscars. But when he wasn't directed by a great person, he'd go a little nuts, and he wasn't. And to me, that's not a good representation of a good actor. I don't know, that he's not consistent. Where you have people like Daniel Day-Lewis, he's kind of badass all the time. So, anyway, back to East of Eden, Elia Kazan, good cast all around.
It's Julie Harris, isn't that right?
And she's amazing. James Dean's amazing. I think this is some of his better work. I like him in this and Giant. I like Giant a lot better, but
so
I like
you
this.
like 70% of his movies.
Yeah, given the fact that he only made three fucking
He just
three
doesn't
movies.
Like Rebel.
Yeah, I don't like Rebel. That's the thing. Rebel did not hold up.
Oh, that's other news that reminds me. They're like reopening the Natalie Wood case.
Oh,
that's right.
Crazy Christopher Walken. He pushed her. I'm going to say it.
I don't think Walken would push her.
Yeah, he did. But anyway, that's my number three. Kevin, your number two.
My number two. Well, we already know my number one. When I was trying to figure out which film to go with for one and two, it was really difficult because I love both of these movies. And it just came down to which film I think I've watched more or would watch more. So my number two is The Celebration.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I forgot that movie.
You
win.
Yes, I win. That's it. We're done.
We're done for the night. He topped us.
The first time I saw this movie, probably like 6 years ago, I was just blown away. I knew nothing about it. I think I just read that it won an award at Cannes, and I went, okay, I gotta check this out because I'm a movie whore. And I turned it on, and it's got all handheld camera. They're not using filters. And the writing and the acting throughout the movie are amazing, and the way they just reveal things and the way the actors play their parts. I mean, if you want to talk about dysfunction, in the opening of the movie, we have the younger brother, Michael, who kicks his wife and his two daughters out of his vehicle so that he could give his brother a ride to the house. And they're probably 2 to 3 miles away from the house. So he's making his wife and his daughters walk back to the house so he can go get in the car with his brother and have a talk with him. Meanwhile, Michael, who's just the even though he may not be the craziest character in the film, he definitely puts it out there on the screen. Then at some point in the movie beats a woman that he, at the previous party that they had where he got drunk and had sex with her and then got her pregnant, gets angry with her for telling him this and starts beating her at this new party. But that's not even the biggest twist of the entire movie. I mean, you have this whole thing with Christian, who has to reveal something about his father that happened between him and his twin sister. I don't know. I don't know how many people have seen this movie, so I don't want to, because I really love how everything is revealed, so I don't want to tell everybody here what happens. But the way Christian holds things back and just keeps pushing forward and trying to get his family to believe what he's saying throughout this party, because it's for his father's 60th birthday, is amazing. It's Ulrich Thompson who plays Christian, and he just does a great job throughout the entire movie.
What else has this guy directed? I can't remember.
It's Thomas Vinterberg. He's friends with Lars.
That's right.
He's one of the Dogma 95 favorites.
Yeah. It's actually, this was the first movie for the Dogma 95 films.
That's right.
I love that shot that they do where they put the camera on a mop or something. Like they do the one, yes. It's handheld, but it's not. It's kind of amazing. And you can see for like a brief second the camera person in the mirror.
Yep.
But it's such a great movie, and I can't believe I just spaced, especially after watching Melancholia.
That's true. I mean, you would, but I mean, you don't necessarily always just think about that movie when you watch like a Lars von Trier film, because it doesn't have any, because it's not Lars von Trier. I mean, yeah, he was part of the Dogma movement, but it doesn't have the Lars von Trier like themes or like his little touches that he puts in movies. So I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, I'm watching Melancholia. That's right, The Celebration. But
I don't know. I was thinking of The Celebration because opening of Melancholia is this big awkward family wedding, okay. And I was this first place my mind went. I was like, was that the same director? No, it's not. But yeah, I should have gone there. Well played.
Thanks. I win again. Remember, I win.
You win. Today's episode brought to you by Kevin's win. And is it to you?
It's Adam? To me. All right. So another movie from this decade, 2002, Igby Goes Down.
That was in my honorable mentions. Yes,
I love that movie. That definitely. Was just like one of those. There's this period where I would just rent whatever I could find at Blockbuster because I'd never heard anything about this movie, and I loved it. I think Kieran Culkin is great, and Susan Sarandon as the crazy, evil, wicked matriarch from hell is kind of amazing.
I'm really liking Ryan Phillippe in that movie.
Yeah,
really liking.
He's really just douchetastic.
I like when the mom asks Gigby, say something when you know he gets into the principal's office. And his response is chode.
Just such a messed up family on so many different levels between their weird relationship with him and his mom, and then Jeff Goldblum as the godfather.
Oh. He's amazing in this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Goldblum, put him in everything. I'm on board.
Bill Pullman.
Oh, the scenes of
Bill Pullman just coming out in with company, naked, having a drink and toasting everybody.
Who played young Igby? It wasn't his.
It's Rory Culkin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
That's the good thing about being a Culkin. You always have a younger brother to play the younger version of you.
Or the older version.
There you go.
They could do a movie just, you know, that spans three generations and you'd have a Culkin for every generation.
It works.
It's true.
Love the movie. Love Claire Danes in it.
She's, she plays Sookie.
Sookie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like her. What's the other girl in this movie? Amanda Pete. She's amazing in it too.
Yes.
And all the good cast all around.
Jared Harris is
Jared right? Harris.
Yes, Jared Harris.
That artist where he's so there's just this one scene where Igby's trying to get into this apartment and he throws him the keys, and then after they hit him in the head, he says, Look out. Just the way he says it is he's so amazing in that movie. I love Jared Harris. I'm glad he's the new Moriarty.
Yes. I'm on board with that. Sherlock Holmes is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Now. I love this director. It's crazy. He went from Igby Goes Down. He didn't do anything for like years. And then he did a Zac Efron movie, with the one where he's the age different thing, where it's kind of like vice versa.
17 again.
Yes, he did that.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And then he did the other movie where he has like a dead brother.
Oh, Charlie St. Cloud.
Yes, thank you, what? Jenny, for being our Zac Efron.
You're
the
Zac Efron go-to.
You're welcome.
You're like our Zac
doing
Efron
right now?
Well, no. He's doing taking a bubble bath.
So, yeah, so he went from, like, you know, doing this great indie movie to, like, doing Zac Efron. But you know what? Those two movies weren't, I'm going to confess, I saw the 17 again. It wasn't that bad.
It looks kind of funny. I mean, yeah. I like Matthew Perry. I like, who's
Leslie
the,
Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
It was decent. I'm going to, I confess,
I refuse to
it.
See Charlie St. Cloud. That movie looked ridiculous and confusing.
It was ridiculous. I couldn't get through it. It
like,
didn't make any
his
sense.
His brother's dead, but he plays catch with him.
Oh, do you want me to give you the ending?
Spoil it for everyone.
Yes, please.
Spoil the shit out of that
the
movie.
The chick's dead, too, the whole time.
What?
So we can just see dead people, apparently.
Oh, man.
It's just crazy.
Was that the thing? He saw dead people?
I guess so. It's like a weird thing. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Was this based on a book or something?
I have no idea. I was forced into watching it.
Why? Tell us. Now we want to see the. Let's hear the story.
My friend got his wisdom teeth out, and he wanted. He picked
it
while
he
was drugged up.
So it's a guy.
Yeah,
so
he was high.
It was a guy, and he picked it while he was drugged up, and I couldn't say no.
Was it a straight guy?
Well.
All right. That's.
I'm gonna go with that. No.
Some guys have a thing for Zac Efron.
Yeah, I'll accept that. That's acceptable.
I've never met one of these guys, quote unquote, that you speak of that have a thing for Zac Efron. But okay.
Where are we, Jenny?
My number two was Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. So let's talk about that again.
We can
talk
about that.
I'm just kidding.
My number two is 1980s Ordinary People. I love it. It's Robert Redford's first directing effort, and it's amazing. It's a script by Alvin Sargent, I believe his last name is.
Yeah.
You may know the screenwriter from the Spider-Man movies. Not the third. Not the abortion. That was the third one. But the first and second. Spider-Man's. But it's a great movie. It's Donald Sutherland as the father. Just crazy, crazy family of just crazy people. The son going to therapy. You had Judd Hirsch as the therapist. It's a great movie. Mary Tyler Moore as the mom, the crazy mom. I just love this movie.
I feel really bad. I still have not seen Ordinary People. And like I've read about it so many different times, and I feel like I know the entire movie. I still haven't seen it.
I've only seen it twice because it's kind of a downer. Like I get to the end and I'm like, kind of depressed. Kind of don't want to do anything. I want some Campbell's soup and just lay here in the camp.
And a hug.
Yeah, and a hug. But Timothy Hutton, that's what I was thinking of. He plays the son. But it's a great movie. I mean, it's not a lot of actors go into like directing and have such a great, you know, and it's so heavy for, you know, for being Robert Redford's first movie. It's just a heavy movie and just in general. But yeah, I love it, and you're gonna have a hard time watching it if you watch it. So have fun with that.
I will.
Sweet.
You're number two, Kevin.
We're actually on number one.
Number one, Kevin.
And my number one was Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, okay. So
again, a lot of Royal Tenenbaums.
A lot of crossover in this list.
Okay, so my number one, someone who we spoke about at the beginning of the podcast, Mr. Woody Allen's Interiors, 1978. I really want nothing to do with the family in this movie at all. Like, I want to be nowhere near them. They're just really, really off-putting. Like, all these crazy daughters and the husbands who are not very helpful at anything, and that mother. Maureen Stapleton plays the new girlfriend, but Geraldine Page plays Eve, the mother, and oh my gosh, she's so frustrating. Like, I love this movie, but at times it's kind of hard to sit through just because she's so frustrating. It's like, oh, please just stop.
I think that's why it's not on my list, because Woody Allen is one of my favorite directors of all time. And this is one of the movies where it's like so good, it's bad.
Right.
Meaning it's hard to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch it. It's one of the ones where I've only seen once, I think. And again, it's really, really good movie.
Well, he's got a whole bevy of movies that I feel could be number one on this list. I was struggling between like this, and it's like, or I could go the lighter route and go Hannah and Her Sisters, which is actually around Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yep.
And they're awkward in their own little way, but it's not as crazy, dysfunctional painfully dysfunctional as The Family and Interiors.
I feel like Woody Allen has a movie that fits in every category.
Pretty much.
Except horror. Horror,
yeah,
is the but only other thing. Than
Shadows
that,
and Fog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, again, every category. So, but yeah, you could pick, he's got slapstick, he's got, you know, serious drama, he's got thrillers, you know, all around good director.
I already want to watch the documentary. You're just making it worse that I don't have TV.
I know. Well, you can stay and watch it, maybe. Jenny, you're number one.
Oh, my number one was
Drop It Like It's Hot.
It was Christmas Vacation.
So we talked about it then.
Yeah. The Griswolds. What's bad about that?
A lot, but in a good way.
Let's talk about another Griswolds movie. My number one is 2005's The Squid and the Whale.
It's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, I love this movie. It's one of the ones where every single little thing everybody said made me laugh. Every little thing. These throwaway lines just make me laugh. Jeff Bridges, such a jerk. But I love him. I love him.
He is a kind of a giant prick in that movie.
Yeah.
He's every character, every actor, great acting all around. Even the smaller characters. Again, one of the Baldwin brothers in this movie. But... just great script, great. And it's funny because it's the '80s, but it's a period piece. It's very, you know, very '80s. I love Jeff Daniels. I love Jesse Eisenberg. Yes. Great.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that.
That kid, what's his name? The other brother who, the younger kid. What's his name?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Laura Linney.
It's not Laura Linney. No, it's Kevin Kline's son. And,
Really?
B.B. not B.B. Who's he married to? The girl from Fast Times.
Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates. Uh-huh. It's their son. And I think that's the only movie he's done. Yeah, he plays Carl. And his name is David Benger. And he's both our kids. I don't know who Benger.
Benger.
I wonder if
that's his middle name Benjamin?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
They're just like Benger.
Yeah.
Benger. But awesome actor. I like when he's drinking beer. It's a little kid drinking beer.
Is Anna Paquin, the intern or whatever?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She's
I've only seen it once and I liked it. I just haven't got around to seeing it again. Yeah, I like Noah Baumbach.
I do. I dig it.
Squid and the Whale.
Kicking and Screaming. Did you like Margo at the Wedding?
Yes, I did. It was good. But definitely nowhere near as amazing as Squid and the Whale.
Yeah.
That's another dysfunctional family.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's seems to be his thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's Wes Anderson and Noah Baumbach's theme. Like,
yeah.
Dysfunctional families. Even Fantastic Mr. Fox, a little bit, they were a little dysfunctional, I would
say. Some Mr. Fox is pretty self-involved.
Yeah. So,
what year was Squid and the Whale?
Squid and the Whale was, I think, 2001, I think.
2005. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But have you seen it?
Yeah. It's been a while, though.
Yeah. Everything in the movie, even the cinematography, it feels like they used like 80s stock, film stock. But that's my number one.
That line from Jesse Eisenberg where they're talking about the metamorphosis, and he's like, "Oh, it's very Kafkaesque. it's written by Kafka."
I use that all the time when people like.
I did that once on accident. It was legitimately on accident. I totally spaced on the fact we were watching the trial, and I didn't know that it was Kafka. I was like, "Oh, this is Kafka. Oh, I feel stupid now." I'd been drinking.
That's understandable.
Yeah. Did you say it was Kafkaesque, though?
Yeah, like I walked in the room because I didn't know what it was. I'm like, "Oh, this is crazy Kafkaesque. What is this?" He's like, "It's the trial." I'm like, "Oh, my bad."
I like to use it when I haven't read a book or something. Like, they're like, "Oh, have you read this book?" "Oh, yeah, it's very..." And then I just find out who the author was. And it's very, very Kafkaesque. Insert
yes.
author. But, that's my line. I use it. So if you hear that, that means I haven't
very blank-esque.
I haven't read your book. Whatever book you're pitching, I haven't read it. So that's my number one. Anything else? Did we go through everybody's number one?
We went through everybody's number one.
Well, because we had a lot of overlap.
I know.
Between
I know.
The Royal Tenenbaums and Christmas Vacation and Magnolia.
This is a short episode. What's going
on?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of honorable mentions.
I do too. So let's go to honorable mentions. Kevin, take it away with your honorable mentions.
All right. Well, one of my honorable mentions was The Squid and the Whale. I also had Home for the Holidays, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that no one had that on their main list because I mean, also it's a Thanksgiving movie too.
It was, and it was close, but I think it was between that and Parenthood when it came down to like number five. And
I gotcha.
I had to go with Parenthood. I also had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre because that is one fucked up family.
True. I agree.
And I couldn't put it on my main list because I really love the movies on my main list, but it is definitely a very dysfunctional family.
See, my problem with it, why I didn't put it on, is technically the family's fine. They're just crazy.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
So, I mean, it's only dysfunctional from the outside looking in because they think they're okay. They get along very well, it seems. They're totally content to eat passersby as they come. Yeah. That's why at the last minute I was like, I'm going to take it off because it works.
Okay.
It works for them.
It does work for them. I also had Igby on my, because I just loved that movie. I was in college at the time that was playing, and I think I watched it over and over a bunch of times. And then my last one would probably be Vacation, because it's a National Lampoon's Vacation. I understand that Christmas Vacation is a great film, but I grew up with Vacation. It just left
me too.
It left its mark more on me more than Christmas Vacation.
And that's my favorite Rusty. Anthony Michael Hall is my favorite Rusty.
Yeah, he is a good Rusty. That's true.
Where he's
I just love when they finally get to Wally World.
Yeah.
John Candy is so good as that security guard.
My favorite scene is where he's explaining to Rusty why he was in the pool naked. He's like, she's a pool waitress. That's what she is. She was bringing some shrimp cocktails for you, Audrey, and Mom. And he looks at Chevy Chase and he says, "You think Mom will leave it? You think Mom will buy it?" But
Oh my gosh.
I love that's my favorite of the Vacation movies. And Adam, your honorable mentions. Give us your long list.
Oh, I've got so many. Okay, so number one, like the first one. The second movie, actually, that I thought of, because the first movie was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which ended up not making the cut. But Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, I can't believe I didn't even think of that.
Well, because, I mean, it's just George and Martha. You don't necessarily think of them as a family, but they're ridiculously dysfunctional in the greatest way ever. The only thing that I like more than Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is the episode of Duckman where they parody Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And they comment about how nobody knows what they're talking about. Nobody's going to get this joke.
Yeah. Oh, give us another one on your list.
Come okay. So down. Then The Ref, 1994.
Yes, good.
But I felt like I didn't include this and American Beauty because it was just they felt very similar to me.
Is it Ted Demme?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Dennis Leary, they had like a thing. Demme, he did Dennis Leary's No Cure for Cancer, yeah, right, I think. Yeah, and then... Right. Dennis Leary is also in Who's the Man, which I love. Not enough people know about this movie, but it's kind of great. Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, and not the Dr. Dre you're thinking of.
Yes, yes.
Speaking I love
the
of ref.
Ted Demme, I love Blow. I love his last movie, Blow. Not a lot of people are fans. Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Great.
That was his
Ted
last?
Depp. That was.
Yeah. He died early.
Coincidentally, he died of a cocaine overdose.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that benefit show that they did for him with Kevin Spacey was there.
That's right.
I don't think he did a movie that I didn't like. I think I've liked everything that he's done.
Yeah.
So good on him.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I do like The Ref. That family is crazy. But Judy Davis and who plays the mom in that? She is ridiculous. I can't remember who it is, but she's amazingly creepy.
Yes.
Okay. And then The Ice Storm.
Oh,
Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, that's true.
They're dysfunctional, but they didn't quite make the cut for dysfunction. Like, there are worse people, but it's kind of messed up. All that Elijah Wood, Christina Ricci stuff, and Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline, Joan Allen stuff.
Joan Allen, she's one of my favorites.
But the one scene that always just bothered me the most was actually with David Krumholtz and Tobey Maguire. And Katie Holmes, that weird, where he's just like, he just appears to leave two overdosed classmates. He's like, I'm gonna go now. You guys OD'd, I'm gonna split. Spoiler alert, by the way. It's like, oh, I'm sorry you guys OD'd on those drugs. My bad, I'm out.
Who's the director? Is it Ang Lee?
Yeah, it's Ang Lee. Yeah.
Was that his first film? American film?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was.
I don't remember.
I want to say it was.
I just watched the trailer in preparation for this. It's the worst trailer for that movie. It's so bad. It's all like heartwarming and home for the holidays.
It's nothing
cheery. I'm like, no, this is not what this movie is at all. It's amazingly dark. Like, it's funny. It's got some great Kevin Kline. I mean, you can't go wrong. Even when he's being serious, he can inject some comedy in there, but not a light movie. and then Greedy. 1994's Greedy.
With Michael J. Fox?
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
That is one dysfunctional family.
Yes.
Phil Hartman owns that movie.
I like anything Michael J. Fox. I'm on board with that. I don't think he's made a bad movie. I'm going to say it.
I think I can agree with that.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I can't think of anything
like that even his lesser movies. Yeah. I enjoy. Like, I like Life with Mikey.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like Secret of My Success.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Doc Hollywood. I love.
Oh, Doc Hollywood's great.
A movie we just Kevin and I just watched, The Hard Way.
Yes.
James Woods.
Michael J. Fox trying to play a tough actor. I like him in that.
Another movie from '94, Trapped in Paradise. I love Nicolas Cage in this movie doing his crazy overacting.
Dana Carvey plays
one? Yeah, it's Dana Carvey and John Lovitz.
That's right.
And they're just so funny together. And the reason I didn't put it on the list is mainly because it's just the three brothers. I'm like, well, it's not the whole family that's dysfunctional.
Still, it's a family.
But they're so hilarious together. The way Nicolas Cage plays off of John Lovitz, and he's just that over-the-top, overacting, like Vampire's Kiss Nicolas Cage, where he can overact the alphabet.
I like that Nicolas Cage. Yeah, sometimes he gets goes a little bit off the map, but I like
so
it.
Enjoyable.
It's enjoyable. It's really enjoyable.
It's so enjoyable.
Yeah. That's why I like Bad Lieutenant Protocol.
See, but that, like, I felt like there it made, like, he had reasoning behind it. Like, he's this crazy, coked out dude.
I mean, it worked for the character really well.
He's like, why are you still shooting him? His soul still dances.
And that was just such a random, like, blindsiding movie. Like, him and Werner Herzog making that movie with Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Just kind of came out of nowhere. Is it Exhibit? Is he in that?
Yes,
Exhibit's in that.
Just random movie.
Random rapper.
I think that's... I mean, I also, in the back of my mind with my love for horror, I was like, I could kind of get Carrie. I mean, I wouldn't want to have Thanksgiving with the Whites.
No, definitely considered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then The Shining, because the Torrances. I would not want to be locked away at the Overlook Hotel for Thanksgiving with them.
I'm good with that.
I think that's about it for my honorable mentions.
Jenny, take us to your honorable mentions.
Most of them have already been said, but one that hasn't been said that I think I would include as dysfunctional would be The Kids Are All Right.
Very dysfunctional.
Yeah. And it was a really good movie. Fantastic
it was good.
Movie.
I will agree that they were dysfunctional. I did not like that movie.
You didn't like it?
Not even a little bit.
I did. I felt
it was indie for the sake of being... I felt like they put it together a really great formula to a really good independent movie.
I just, like, all of... I just kept hearing from all these lesbians that I know, like, they just didn't like the whole Mark Ruffalo... Julianne Moore side story. It's like that pissed
awkward.
A lot of people off. I'm like, that's kind of understandable.
Yeah.
And then I love Annette Bening, but I didn't like that character. She was such a heavy, and then like, oh, we gotta make her look okay now. I wasn't feeling The Kids Are All Right.
I do like me some Mark Ruffalo. I thought
I like all of them. I love all of those. Like, and that girl, what's her name?
Mia Wallowitz or
Wasikowski. She was in Jane Eyre, which
I
loved. Did you see Jane Eyre with her?
No, I didn't.
That's really good.
Really?
I really like Jane Eyre. And she was in that... I almost saw... Breathless or whatever? That new movie she was in, that Gus Van Sant movie.
Yeah.
Almost.
Restless.
Restless.
Like, she could almost get me to see it. And, like, the ghost of the Chinese guy. But then, like, everything else, I'm like, I'm not feeling this movie.
Yeah. I wasn't feeling it. I skipped that. I'll wait for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, take us to another one.
All the rest of them were said already.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my honorable mentions were, of course, Vacation, Igby Goes Down, Days of Wine and Roses with Jack Lemmon.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah. That's hard to watch. I've only seen it once because it's really heavy. Again, all these dysfunctional movies are really heavy.
Lee Remick?
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you say her first name?
Is it Lee?
Lee Remick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a... what's his guy? Blake Edwards directed film. It's a great movie. It's really heavy.
I love that movie.
Every time I watch this, every time I see a Jack Lemmon movie, I'm always haunted by... I watched him on Inside the Actors Studio, and he was talking about... Tell us... He asked... James Lipton asked Jack Lemmon, what is your favorite line from a movie? And he said, I'm an alcoholic. And then And he starts tearing up, and he says, "No, I'm really an alcoholic." And he basically confesses, "Like, hey, I'm, like, I know I'm being interviewed here, but I just want to say I'm an alcoholic. And he starts bawling it, and it's hard to watch. It's a hard. You could probably find it on YouTube if you want to cry.
Watching. Oh, jeez, I don't know if I want to watch that.
Yeah, it's really so hard. Depressing. And basically, he's talking about his favorite line, and it's from this movie. And it's hard. It's hard to watch. And he was already older when he did this interview, and it's pretty sad. But anyway, I like that. After I took us to this downer place.
Now let's go watch Melancholia.
Yeah.
Yes.
About a boy. I like this movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. I mean, Hugh Grant, he's on top of his game there.
He brings it. Yeah. I feel like that's one of my favorite Hugh Grant movies. And the kid who's in this, he plays Beast in the new X-Men.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember really him seeing him in A Single Man. And I was like, whoa.
Yes.
That is the little goofy-looking kid from About a Boy. And he's all, like, Adonis-like and orange and trying to hook up with Colin Firth.
And the guy we were just talking about is in this movie as well, from Igby, the British guy.
The British guy from Igby. Jared Harris.
Jared Harris, yes. I was going to say Jared Hess, but that's a different guy. Jared Harris, yeah, he plays the guy that he works with the call center with.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Jared Harris, great cameos in every movie he does. But yeah, again, like, About a Boy, Rachel Weisz is awesome. Everybody all around is great in the movie. And I put this as an honorable mention. I don't know if it qualifies, but I put Star Wars. I think they're pretty dysfunctional, you know? Like,
Yeah, no.
That's a dysfunctional family.
Yeah, I might say, I think he actually beat you with Festen, Kevin. I think Star Wars trumps. I'm just kidding. No, but it works. It makes sense.
Right? It's like you even have a little bit of, like, incest going on. Like, the kissed, and then it's kind of weird. Nobody ever brought that up. Like, hey, remember when we kissed? Isn't that awkward that,
we kissed? We should talk about that.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I don't think we should.
You kind of want to just forget about that.
I guess so.
Like most dysfunctional families do. They just drink it away.
Just drink it away.
Right.
Drink it away with the Ewok. But that's it. Any other things you guys want to talk about? Any more dysfunctional films? Hmm. No.
Anything anyone's going to want to see coming out?
The Muppets.
The Muppets, yes. And The Descendants. I still want to see that.
I really want to see The Descendants.
I want to see that.
Both of those.
That another dysfunctional family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
We just watched Election and forgot that was Alexander Payne's movie. So.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that in a while.
It's a good movie.
It's a funny one.
I want to see that, and I want to see Melancholia, which you saw.
Mm. It's on, see it. It's on
demand,
iTunes.
Right?
Yeah, that one's on demand.
I will check that
out. It seems like it'd be pretty cool to see on the big screen too.
I heard it's great. There's great cinematography.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I might.
And I mean, it's a good movie. It's a downer, but it's a good movie. I really liked it. I didn't like it as much as Antichrist or Antichrist or however you want to say it, but it's good. Kirsten Dunst is kind of awesome.
It's got a huge cast. Like, it's Kiefer Sutherland's in it, and
Alexander Skarsgård, Stellan Skarsgård.
I do like him.
Both father and son.
Father and son.
Oh, Stellan's in it.
Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Wow. Yes, she's she plays Kirsten Dunst's sister.
Oh wow.
Charlotte Rampling.
Wow.
John Hurt.
Oh really?
Yes.
Wow, this is a huge cast. Now I have to
see Udo Kier.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier as a wedding planner.
You never hear people saying, you know who my favorite actor is? Udo Kier.
Who does
Brandon.
Udo Kier? Brandon.
Brandon would say that.
A friend of ours is Brandon.
Glitter Brandon?
The man who loves glitter.
He has some... Okay, so the man loves glitter, but I remember back in the day when I first started liking Woody Allen, he was my sort. Like, I got all my Woody Allen movies from him, so... Yeah.
So he's got that cred to balance out the glitter, but it's still, he ends up at zero. It's like, you got like a negative 30, but then all the Woody Allen movies he loves, you still end up at zero because of glitter.
Yeah.
So he's got zero credibility, but we love him. All right. Anything else you guys want to see coming up?
I really want to see The Artist. I think it comes out in like the next week or so.
Yeah.
A silent movie coming out today, and the trailer looked fantastic.
And it's a full two-hour film? I think it is, right?
It's a full film. Yeah, it's like an hour long.
I'm on board for that.
Yeah. And John Goodman's in it.
Who?
John Goodman.
Yes, that's right. John Goodman and Penelope Ann Miller, is it?
I have no idea.
I think so.
I just know John Goodman. Because I love me some Roseanne.
You know what?
Red State was almost on my list because the Coopers. But again, with the like with the Sawyer / Huets, depending on whether or not you're going with the new or the old Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because they changed their names. Coopers kind of seem dysfunctional from the outside, but as far as they're concerned, everything's peachy.
Yes. I do like me some Michael Parks.
Michael Parks.
He's great. I'm glad he's having this, like, second, you know, second wind of his acting career. He's a great actor. Anyway, anything else?
I don't even remember what all comes out, because it's Thanksgiving, so a bunch of stuff is
Hugo
coming out.
Hugo comes out this week, I think.
Okay, I want to see that.
I want to see that. Mm-hmm. Especially because it's in 3D. I want to see Scorsese's 3D version. So I'm on board for that, and The Artist, and Muppets, I'm not.
You know what I don't want to see?
What?
Breaking Dawn.
Shut I don't think anybody up. Does. Are you a Breaking Dawn fan, Jenny?
No, I'm not. Okay, I read the books. I did. I'll admit it. And I'm not a reader. But I read those.
Wow.
But I didn't. No, I'm not.
Do you feel bad about reading it?
I liked the books. I can't help it.
Right, but do you feel bad about it?
Because I know a lot of people. I try to not tell people.
That's the thing that I hear.
Well, ladies. You just told a bunch of people.
I know.
It's okay, though. They're not. She doesn't have to look them in the eye.
Nobody's listening.
I don't have to see the shame.
But no, I have a lot of female friends who are like, I know that they're terrible and I shouldn't read them, but I have. And they love them. And whatever.
Yeah. Can't help it.
So Jenny will not be seeing Breaking Dawn.
No.
All right. Well, I guess that's it, right? All right, so hopefully join us next week, and that's it for us. Have a good week.